Good morning. Glad you're able to join in hearing God's Word today. I may have mentioned this before, but my grandparents owned a fruit farm located in Fairfield, which is just outside Sacramento, about 45 minutes outside of Sacramento. So growing up, because my grandparents owned this fruit farm, our family was blessed or benefited by having access to a lot of fresh fruit. They grew pears, there were peach trees, plums, apricots, nectarines, all growing on their farm. And as a young child, I loved going to visit them. Sometimes I would even go into the orchard and I guess you could say help pick some of the fruit and then promptly eat it. And without sounding biased, the sweetness, the richness, the taste, the quality of the taste, the density, you could say, was so much better than just going to a grocery store. I mean, going to the grocery store, yeah, it's great to get fruit, but picking it off the tree and eating it right there and then, maybe it's just the experience is so much better. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks and months, you know that I've been preaching through a sermon series covering the fruit of the Spirit. Unlike apples and oranges, peaches, plums, pears, the fruit of the Spirit is a little different, you could say. It's in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And let me just read those verses. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Before we continue, though, let me open us in prayer. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we come hearing your word, Lord, that we would ultimately hear you speaking to us. Father, use me as a vessel or conduit to what you want to say. God, not just for me personally to be a vessel through it, but also to be hearing what you want to say to me. And ultimately, we pray, Lord, that it is not just for our good, but ultimately for your glory. We thank you, pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, I've been preaching through this sermon series regarding the fruit of the Spirit. And this morning, or if you happen to be listening to this at a different hour of the day, I'm going to be having a wrap-up sermon, or you could say a summary of the series. So if you've missed the series, if you haven't been able to join us, this is a perfect time because I'll be highlighting some of the main points that we've looked at over the course of our sermon series in Galatians chapter 5. Just to give you an idea, or you could say a preview of the upcoming weeks, next Sunday, I will be starting a new message series focusing on the life of the patriarch Jacob. We'll be going through Genesis 25 to 35 and focusing on the life, the character, change in his character of the patriarch Jacob. But that's starting next week. Over the next couple of weeks following that, we'll be doing some different things. I'll be actually away. You could definitely pray for me. You may know that we're having a mission trip to Laos, and I'll be going along with Wang Go. And so I'll be away for the next 11 days. And so definitely you could pray for us as we go out and be an instrument for God's glory. But again, this morning we are focusing It's a recap or review of our message series in the Fruit of the Spirit. And we're focusing on some of the major points that we've covered in our message series. So the first major point that we've seen, and I want to highlight, is that there is only one fruit of the Spirit. There's only one fruit of the Spirit. And I've referenced this, I've referred to this in the past as looking at a diamond. Whether it's a small diamond or a large diamond, if you hold up a diamond in the light or where there's light, you could see different, and you look at it from different angles or perspectives, the light oftentimes reflects differently as you either turn the diamond or you look at the diamond from different angles or different perspectives. You get a different view, if you will. And yet, there's only one diamond. You're only looking through or at one diamond, even though it reflects the light in a different way as you twist it or turn it or you look at it from a different angle. The same is true when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. I know there's a listing of, there's nine items, or you could say listed in the passage, but it's very clear that there is only one fruit. And we've emphasized, or I've emphasized that by saying that the noun fruit of the Spirit is singular. And we know it's singular because the verb is, how do I say it, is singular itself. So good English, if the verb is singular, that also means that the noun or the subject is also singular. If the verb is plural, the subject would also be plural. In this case, because the verb is singular, the subject, fruit of the Spirit, is also singular. Even though it's listed, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we may come away thinking that, oh, there must be nine fruits of the Spirit. But there's only one. There's only one fruit of the Spirit. It's like going to a buffet, an all-you-can-eat restaurant. You know, one of the advantages or one of the benefits of going to a buffet type of restaurant is that you get to pick or you get to choose exactly what you like. You know, the foods that you like, you get to put them on your plate. You can go back as many times as you want and get even more. The foods that you're dislike or you're not so, they don't appeal to you. You could avoid, or maybe you only get a little bit, a small portion. This is not true when it comes, I would argue that this is not true when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. This is not a pick and choose. This is not a take and avoid situation with the fruit of the Spirit, or the aspects, you could say, of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. You either, as a believer, you have access to all of them, or as an unbeliever, you do not have any of them. As a follower of Christ, we have access to all the angles of this one fruit of the Spirit. Now, this does not mean that we are going to be perfect. We are going to be manifest that angle of that one fruit exactly like someone else. It will look different. It will be different because of our unique qualities, our unique characteristics, our unique experience of life experiences. But yet, we are still able to manifest those different aspects because we have that one fruit of the Spirit because of our belief in Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. for you, as you think about your life situation or circumstance, perhaps what is God calling you? Perhaps He's challenging you. Perhaps comforting you to demonstrate that aspect or an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, that one fruit which you are able to manifest all the different aspects or the angles. Even though I realize that maybe certain aspects don't appeal to you. Just like in the buffet line, there are certain foods that I gravitate to. There are certain foods that I usually don't take a whole lot, if any. Perhaps God is calling you to manifest aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, which you may not particularly like. You may not find particularly appealing to you. But in order to serve someone else, in order to reach someone else, in order to minister to someone else, God may be calling you to manifest that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. So that's the first major point, that there is only one fruit of the Spirit, though it may be, it is manifested in many ways or different ways. Our second major point that we've seen in our message series is this, that God Himself is the epitome or the example of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. That God Himself is the epitome and the example of the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, you could just listen along. I'll be reading the verses in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, as well as in verse 16. But let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, regarding God being example of love. Has anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then verse 16, if you could look at verse 16, it says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So God is love. He is the example or the epitome of love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Romans 5, verse 8 says this, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We're told, Paul tells us that not only is God, as we saw earlier, the example or the epitome of love, but God expresses his love to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross. We looked at some other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. For instance, patience and faithfulness. Several other verses I'd like us to look at are here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is patient, one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Psalm 86, verse 15 says this, but you, O Lord, are God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Again, many of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, being slow to anger, being patient, demonstrating love, faithfulness. Again, God Himself is the epitome and the example of the fruit of the Spirit. And this is very important for us, because in our life and in our society and in our culture, there are so many things that are presented to us as examples of love, goodness, joy, faithfulness, peace, patience, kindness. Now, I'm not saying that these examples are bad, are not actually good things. Usually, hopefully they are, but the best and the ultimate and the clearest example as a follower of Christ that we should be looking to is God Himself has an example for us regarding the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. God is the example. God is also the expression of these fruits of the Spirit. And we see also this expression, particularly through His Son, Jesus Christ, expressing faithfulness and self-control. If last verse that we'll look at, Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Luke 22, verse 42, in which Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and He's praying to His Father, knowing full well what lays before Him or what will be coming, His arrest, His trial, and His crucifixion. And He prays to His Father, yet not my will, but yours be done. He knows that He's going to suffer, and He asks the Father, if I can avoid having to suffer, please let me avoid it. But He ultimately says, yet not my will, but yours be done. An example of faithfulness on Jesus' part, willingness to obey His Father, and also self-control. Rather than giving in to His own desire, His own wishes, His own wants to not have to suffer, He surrenders Himself, submits to the Lord God. John chapter 12, verse 27 and 28. John 12, verse 27 and 28 says this. This is Jesus also speaking to the Father. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Again, Jesus knowing full well what will soon take place regarding His arrest, His trial, His crucifixion, His death. Jesus ultimately submits, places His faith in His Father. He knows that this is God's purpose, God's will, and He submits to it. In your life, are you looking to God, to Jesus, as the example, as the epitome of what it means to exercise and manifest the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Who is the example? Are you looking to for to illustrate, to show you? Again, it may be a person, it may be an event, it may be experience, it may not be a bad event, it may not necessarily be a bad person or a bad experience, but as a believer in Christ, I believe we need to look to the Lord God and His Son as the epitome and the best, clearest example of what it means to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. All of these fruit, Christ or God expresses it Himself. In my role as a pastor of the church, there may be times where I need to ask an individual to do something, to get something done, to do a task, or something needs to be looked at or completed, and I will ask them to do it. I try as best as I can to not ask someone to do it unless I am willing to do it myself. And there are times where I'm not able to take care of it at that moment because I'm busy, I'm focused on doing something else that I believe also is important to be done. And so I try not to ask someone to do something unless I am either willing to do it myself or I have actually done it myself. And because of circumstances, I need to be at another place or another, take care of something else at the same time. Here, God being the example, Jesus being the example, I would argue that all these manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus demonstrates it himself. He shows us himself. He doesn't command us to do something that he himself is not already done, has not already expressed. For you, are you looking to Jesus? Are you looking at God as the example for you of what it means to manifest this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit? And are you convinced that God, Jesus himself, has already manifested it? So he's not calling you, he's not asking, commanding you to do something that he himself has not already done for you. Our last major point in our message series is this, that there is a difference. There is a difference, oftentimes I should say, there is a difference in the purpose and the point of the fruit of the Spirit. The purpose, or you could say the use of the fruit of the Spirit, between our secular society and our Christian setting. Oftentimes, there's a difference between the purpose and the point or the reason why we're manifesting this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Between what our non-Christian or secular society uses it from our Christian church or faith. And why we are manifesting it. You see, sometimes in our secular society, when it comes to the aspect of perhaps, say, gentleness or kindness, the perception is that gentleness and kindness is often seen as, or looked at as, being less desirable because it's considered a sign of weakness, a sign of wimpiness, a sign of a lack of courage or lack of bravery. So gentleness and kindness, someone who's gentle, someone who's kind, they're often seen as somebody who just doesn't bother you off in the corner. You know, they wave to you, they smile at you, but pretty much we might consider them cowards or lacking in being assertive, lacking in having ambition. Kind of like, as I mentioned, when we focused on this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, like Mr. Rogers. Mr. the nice guy, but oftentimes what the saying, nice guys finish last. He's a nice guy. But does he have strength? Does he have courage? Sometimes in our society, we often look at people who exhibit gentleness and kindness. We assume or we associate that with being weak or wimpy. When it comes to certain aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, our society and our culture often places less importance, less significance to whether it's gentleness, whether it's kindness, perhaps patience. When it comes to the fruit, it's like in real life, there's a fruit, there's a certain fruit called durian. Some of you are probably very familiar with what durian is. I've never actually tasted it. I've heard enough about it to kind of have an idea what durian is like. From my understanding, durian smells really badly. The smell is overwhelming. And because of that, people have a negative reaction to eating durian or even being around durian. Now, there may be someone who actually likes it. There's one guy at our previous church that professed to really love durian. But most of the people that I came in contact with, all of them just absolutely hated durian. Perhaps as a believer, there are certain aspects of the fruit of the Spirit which we find less desirable, less maybe, how should I say, useful, because they don't have as much value in our mind or in our society or what our society says. But yet, as a believer, I believe that we are called to not only have this one fruit of the Spirit, but to manifest that fruit in the various ways, in the different ways that we've talked about over our message series. I mentioned earlier about Mr. Rogers and being an example of someone who's kind, someone who's gentle. There was a movie on Mr. Rogers in 2019. It was called It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. That's part of the theme song of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And Tom Hanks played the role of Mr. Rogers, or Fred Rogers, I should say. And in preparation for his role, for Tom Hanks' role, he spent a lot of time getting to know or talking with Fred Rogers. I mean, because he's going to be portraying Fred Rogers in the movie. And so, naturally, he wants to get to know him. He wants to talk to him. He wants to find out as much as he can about Fred Rogers. There's an interview with Tom Hanks talking about his experience and his preparation for his role in getting to know Fred Rogers. And what he found is that Fred Rogers actually does talk like he does in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He actually talked very similar, very purposeful, very quiet, gentle, very deliberate in his mannerism and his way he speaks. So essentially, what you see on screen or the TV is exactly like what you get in real life. His on-stage or on-screen persona is the same off-screen. And for us as believers in Christ, when it comes to the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, are we able to manifest that one fruit in the different ways, both within the church or in a certain context, as well as outside or in a different context? Or are we only, when we're in church, we're loving, we're gracious, we're kind, we're patient, we're gentle with each other, but then in a certain context, maybe at home, maybe at work, maybe at school, we throw it out the window. That's the last thing on our mind. And I understand, yeah, you know, we're still in our flesh, we're still prone to sin. There are people that push our buttons. I'm not saying that we have to be perfect by any means, but yet, as a believer in Christ, we are still able to manifest the characteristics of this one fruit of the Spirit, regardless of where we are, context, circumstance, regardless of even the people that we're interacting with. Yeah, it may be more difficult talking to, interacting with this person compared to this, that person, but we can't say, you know, that person just always pushes my button and just automatically respond to them in this way. As a believer in Christ, we have the ability to respond in love, in joy, in peace, patience, kindness, because we, as believers in Christ, have also been given the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the fruit of the Spirit is within us. How is God calling you, challenging you to exhibit and exemplify the one fruit of the Spirit in your life setting and your life circumstance? Let me pray for us. Father, again, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. A clear demonstration of your love and your grace for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would demonstrate our appreciation for all that you've done for us. Allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested in our lives. Not out of obligation, not out of duty, but a desire to show you our thanksgiving for your goodness and your graciousness to us. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go out and have a blessed day, and I hope to see you soon. God bless.